Good morning. We greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here with you today. It does feel a little different being up here at this time, but we trust that God can direct this time as well. I'd like for us to think this morning, how many of you are thankful for the privilege to walk? I think all of us are. And I think a lot of us would probably say that we enjoy just getting out and taking a good walk, especially days when we've been inside or something. For some, walking is simply a mode of transport. We were in Africa for a few years, and there was lots and lots of people walking. And so some simply, you know, that's their transport. Others do it because they enjoy it, and others... It's a recommended thing for their health, and they say there's quite a few health benefits with it. Of course, we know that exercise is good for the body. For some, it can be a stress reliever. But this morning, I'd like to think about our walk with God. Walking is an exercise, and spiritually, we also need to exercise our relationship with God. And I want to look at a few points on how that can work and some of the what that should look like. I'd like to go to the book of 1 Thessalonians and be doing quite a bit of reading this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, break in verse 5. And read through chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. For ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Chapter 2 and verse 1, For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Title of the message this morning is Walk Worthy of God. And first thing I'd like to notice in this passage is that we see in verse 13 that we just finished with that the word of God effectually worketh in the believers. So the word of God will change your life. In verse 5 of chapter 1 where we started, it says that the gospel came not in word only. So the gospel is more than just a religion. It's more than just a word thing or a testimony that we say, but it really has the power to change lives. And Paul gives, he commends the believers here in Thessalonica for how they turned from idols to God and served him. And they were a testimony of the power of God at work. And so that's what I would like to notice, first of all, that the power of God in a believer's heart, the word of God in a believer's heart, will change his life. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because I trust I'm speaking to a group of people that has already experienced that. I would like to just maybe read a few verses. The book of Galatians, it talks about walking in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, and how that we should leave the old man and put on the fruit of the Spirit. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And then it goes on to give that list of Spirit fruit that should be coming from our life. Also in Romans chapter 6 in verse 4 there, it talks about how that the Christian, let's turn to that quickly. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I don't think that's quite the verse I was looking for. The verse was talking about how that we should walk in newness of life. And so that should be evident in the life of the believer. But the power of the Word of God to change our lives. Verse 12 is really what caught my attention in this passage, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Now, how do we walk worthy of God? I think all of us would say that we are not worthy. We're simply not worthy of the goodness of God. But I think another way we could say this is that we walk in a way that pleases God. Another verse that goes along with this is in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, in verse 1. It says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So it's encouraging us here that our walk, the way that we conduct our life as a believer, should glorify God. It should cause people to look to God and to see God within us. In Ephesians, there's another verse that says very similar, the same thing. If I can find it here. Can't find it in my notes here. Anyway, it talked about how that we should walk in a way that pleases God. So, You know, as people, we tend to look at other people and we compare ourselves, and we like affirmation and confirmation from other people. And I think some of that is okay, but when that is what guides our life and guides the decisions that we make, then I think we're coming at it from a wrong perspective. Our decisions should be based on, will this please God or will it dishonor God? And so as we walk as believers, our life should be lived in a way that draws glory to God. Listen to this verse let me see if I can find the reference here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is like God is saying, when a person is born again, I'm going to live there, and that person is going to be my hands and my feet. God's going to walk within us. And so therefore, as we walk this journey, this exercise of faith, let's remember that we are the temple of God and that we are representing the kingdom of God. Let's look at some practical ways that can be worked out. Continuing in 1 Thessalonians here, chapter 4, we read verse 1. Let's continue in verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his neighbor in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So the first one I'd like to look at is walk a sanctified life. Now, sanctification, it could be a message by itself, but it's basically a setting apart from sin and being set aside to the service of God. Another meaning I found was the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and dedicated to God's righteousness. So it is a life that is sold out for God. Free from sin and living a dedicated life to God. You know, when we're living for ourselves, the flesh is pretty important. It's what I want. It's the things that I want are what matter. You know, we want whatever pleases the flesh. But when we're set aside to God, we're willing to follow where He leads us, even though sometimes it may be things that we would rather not do. Maybe difficult things, but being set aside to and dedicated, I like that part, being dedicated to God's righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. There again, we can see that meaning of being set aside for the work of God, for the kingdom of God. Someone that God can use to build His kingdom. You know, we like to make our own plans. We like to look into the future and see how things will turn out. But, you know, it's not always like that. God has a way of bringing things into our life that tend to knock down our plans, and we have to come back to the fact that we are God's and that God is the one that controls our life. Right along with this is walk in holiness. Verse 7 says, God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And also in verse 4, verse 3 it is, where it talks about sanctification, it specifically mentions fornication. And verse 5 mentions, verse 4, that we should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. And verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So I think this is this is a call to us as believers to live a life of purity. And in the world that we're living in, this is very much lacking. And Satan has a way of bringing temptations into our lives to try to destroy us. Because impurity and sin in the life of a believer will destroy our walk with God. We cannot continue a walk with God if we are living in this kind of a sin. And so the call to holiness today, to walk in holiness. You know, there's lots of temptations that Satan wants to bring in front of us. There's billboards, now we have the internet, there's options there that if somebody wants to be impure, there's a chance to do that. There's the immodesty. So as Christians, we are called to purity and to be an example of this. But we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to be defeated. There is victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So there is victory as we walk with God. But it takes that close exercise of walking with God to be able to have the strength to overcome the temptations. We go on reading in verse 9. Next one is walk in love. Verse 9 of chapter 4. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Stop reading there. Paul is encouraging them that they already know this, that they need to walk in love. And he says they're doing it, but do it more and more. Continue to grow in your love toward each other. And Paul gave an example of that in, we read those verses in chapter 2, where he says that he was gentle among the church there, even as a nurse her children, and how he was willing to give his own soul for the church there. So Paul was an example of that, of showing love. He was not willing to put others in bondage to help support him or to because of his needs, but he was willing to do everything that he could to help others. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an example, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. True love takes sacrifice. And are we willing to give that to our brothers and also to show that to the world around us? How do we do that practically? 1 John talks a lot about love, and it's clear there that it gives an example that if we see our brother has a need and we shut up our bowels of compassion from him, it asks the question, how can the love of God dwell in us? And so that's a practical way, you know, sharing with somebody that has a need. Sometimes it comes down to, we know the golden rule, put others first. Sometimes that can be easier said than done. We get, we tend to have our ideas and the way that we think things should look like, should be. You know, sometimes a building project can bring that out, and I think you just came through one of those back here. Sometimes things like that tend to bring out our, you know, different ideas come up, and are we willing to lay down our idea for the sake of my brother's idea? Sometimes we have to be willing to do that, make a sacrifice to show love. 1 John, again, he talks about that we show our love to God by showing it, our love for God by showing it to others. You know, showing love, it can involve all of us. Even the children can do that. You know, for you school children, just simply the golden rule, following that can... You know, maybe you're coming in from recess and you're going into the water fountain to get a drink, and you come to the fountain at the same time as your friend, and just simply allowing him to go first, others first, yourself last. Okay, moving on, the next one I want to look at is walk honestly. And that's in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. Here again is something practical that as believers should be a part of our life. Should be part of that when the Spirit has filled us, we're living in the Spirit, that it should just be a part of us, a part of who we are. Whether it's in our business dealings, whatever it is, school children, checking your work at school, be honest. Maybe it comes down to things like, I don't know if you still have your accountability meetings here or not. I think you did at one time. But being honest about yourself. Maybe you're going through a struggle and... You know, are you willing to be honest about it and expose some of the things that you're struggling with? Walk honestly. Another one I think about is in Ephesians chapter 5. A lot of Paul's writings are very practical, and there's some just Ephesians... Galatians through here, there's some good practical teaching there, how that we can walk out or live out the Christian walk in everyday shoe leather. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, circumspectly is not a word that we use very much, but I think it is simply just be aware of what is happening around you. Be cautious. Be on guard. And so as believers, and we've already talked about some about the temptation, that Satan wants to bring to us, but simply be cautious and be alert to the temptations that may be happening. Maybe it's as a father, we are also called to be alert in that way. maybe your children are going through a difficult time or coming to the age where they feel accountability to God and they don't know what to do with that. Be aware of what is happening. And for all of us as part of the church, be awake and alert to the things that are going on. Be sensitive to your brothers and sisters. If there's evidence, small evidence of maybe a struggle or a somebody that is depressed, be open to that. And as God speaks to you, do something about that. Another one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." It's a short verse there, but I think it's full of meaning. It's a loaded verse. We walk by faith, not by sight. Again, as people, we like to know the road in front of us. We like to see what is coming next. But life has a way of bringing things to us that we don't know what to do with. And I think of an example of that. some of us were to a memorial last weekend. Brother Steve Esch was there, and Steve Esch, and Marcus was there. Marlon Yoder's a man my age. And he recently buried his wife. and this is really, it's come close home for me because we spent quite a bit of time together, working together over in Kenya. You know, it's a difficult journey to walk through. And yet, in these difficult times, can we still say that God is good? And that's where our faith needs to come into play, that even when we don't understand, that God is still good and we can trust God because of that. Because He is in control, God sees the full picture and we do not. So even when life brings things to us that are difficult, when our plans get waylaid or knocked down, that we can have the faith that God is good because that is who He is, and we walk by faith in the goodness of God. I'd like to go to Colossians. We have come through the book of Colossians in our Sunday school lesson recently. And there's some verses there that a prayer that Paul had for the church there. And it is my prayer for all of us that it's found in chapter 1 in verse 10 through 13. Says that ye would walk, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and joyfulness and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I think this was a prayer that Paul had for the church at Colossae, but I think it is a good, what better prayer could you pray for a person than this, that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Again, our goal is to please God and not to be out to get affirmation or we don't want to just be obstinate to other people, but our focus should be to please God and not to please other people. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. It is the power of God that can help us to walk this journey. of our own strength, we will fail. We will become weak and we will fail. But it's the power of God that gives us the strength to walk this journey. Notice there it says, unto all patience and long-suffering. So there it's, you know, when you... James says that if any of you lack... it talks about lacking wisdom, but I think there's also a place where, if we lack patience, sometimes we pray for patience. But how do we know that we have it unless we can exercise it? And so here he's saying with patience and long suffering. So that's indicating that there's things that are happening that we have the privilege of exercising that. But he says to receive it with joyfulness. You know, and that's where sometimes it's a little difficult for us. We don't like these things, and so to receive it with joyfulness, that truly takes the power of God living within us. And then he goes on to say, giving thanks to God, which hath made us meet to be partakers, or he's made us fit, he's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then in verse 13, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. A wonderful testimony that we can have that God wants to work in our heart as His Word works within us. The first several verses we read about the power of the Word of God, which wants to effectually work within us. It can translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And I thank God for that. I'd like to close with a verse in Revelation chapter 3. And verse 4. And this is to the church in Sardis. But I'd like to, maybe we could insert another name there. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, maybe we could insert there, even in Dixon County, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Praise God for that. We can look forward to that someday as we walk this journey with God. With our focus on pleasing God, may God help us to do that. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.